Looks like church is full.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, Bobby.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's so good to see you all this morning. We are going to stand and sing this song, but before we start, I have instructions for you. This one does have an echo, so we're going to divide the whole room in half. That half of the room is going to follow Miss Suzanne, Miss Lisa, and Miss Dina. And this with the first part of the song, and then the echo will be our side of the room with Curtis and myself. So let's stand up and worship together this morning.
I will call upon the
Sang very well, and all of you did. Good to have you this morning, and I just ditto with what Melissa said. Greetings, glad you've come here this morning. Good to see everyone here. Is it hot enough for you out there, or do you wish it was warmer? How about more humidity? Now, you know, I just want to say that of all the dumb things I've done in my life, I joined the Army and went to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri on the 25th of July. And I never knew how humid it was in Missouri. And I grew up where you'd have high humidity maybe for 2 or 3 days during the year, and you came out of it. There it was all the time. But you know, it made me a good soldier. Anyway, good to have you here today. And some of the announcements I just want to share with you is, like, tomorrow is the beginning of what? VBS, yeah, Vacation Bible School. Starts at 9 o'clock. We hope that you kids can be there. And if you got friends, invite them to come. And we will look forward to seeing you tomorrow, as well as Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at noon. We have a program. Everyone can come to the program at noon and have lunch with the kids, as that's the last day that we'll have Vacation Bible School. So keep that in mind for this coming week. It's going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit, which reminds me that there are different pictures on the wall out in the fellowship hall that you can look at that kind of gives you an idea what the fruit of that Spirit may look like as you look at that the pictures that are out there. And so you can hang around, take a look at those pictures, and see which one do you identify with the most. How many fruits of the Spirit are there?
Nine.
Yeah, I know there's nine because there's nine numbers out there. So there's nine. And each one is different. Take a look at them. They'll tell you what they are. And just an excellent job, everyone who decorated for Vacation Bible School. Do want to let you know that only other thing that's kind of coming up this week is that there is a read through the Bible on Thursday night at 6:30 here at the church. And then Saturday, we're going to have a men's breakfast. Right? Unless I forget it? I got it right here. Make sure Ron Knutson hears that there's men's breakfast this coming Saturday at 7:30 at Perkins here in Milford. Also on Saturday of next week is the Bible Camp is having a meeting at 11 o'clock. They need to take another vote. There's got to be a two-thirds majority vote to change the Articles of Incorporation, where they want to change the language from just Lutheran bodies to Lutheran congregations. And so they want to make that change, but it takes a two-thirds majority vote in order for that to take place. So it could be two delegates from Harbor of Joy plus the pastor. I plan on being there for that vote. And there's also a quilt auction, I think,
at noon.
Noon on Friday.
Saturday.
Oh, on Saturday?
Yes.
All right. How do you know?
Because I am getting everything ready for it.
Okay. Listen to her. Don't listen to me. Oh, those of you on Zoom, hey, good to see you. Glad you joined us from wherever you may be. And we hope that your air conditioner is working wherever you are, or you're up high in the mountains to get away from the heat that's down there in the valley or on the plains there. Glad that you've joined us. Also remind you that on Tuesday at 12:30, there is Grief Share. They meet in the fireside room, and as you come in the south door, you take the first left or the second left. It'll get you into that room. And Richard, I did not know. I was misspelling your name and saying your name wrong for months. I didn't know you did not have a T. It's in your right now, right? Miski. So I've been spelling always with a T. Mits. Ski.
My family couldn't afford that extra letter.
Richard is the leader of Grief Share, and so you can see him and make sure you call him by the right name, Miski. So one of the things, just to let you know that we do have a prayer chain. You know, if there's ever a need that comes up that you want people to pray for you, our prayer chain is wonderfully done with Pat Garrels. And Nick Ballas, some of you know who Nick is. They just live right across the alley here. And he had a brain aneurysm. And he had, everything was fine. I've been in contact with Lissa, is her name, his wife. And last night, they had to take him into surgery because he had they called it a Charlie horse in one of the vessels in his brain. And so they had to go in and put medication right on those vessels to stop it because that can cause a stroke. They did go in, and she texted back and said everything went well. He was able to still identify people and talk to them, and you know, he knew where he was at and all that stuff. It was a huge improvement from what was happening before. They were going to also do the same kind of procedure this morning at 7:30, so I mean, it's already happened. But just keep him in your prayers as you think of, he's not that old of a guy. And the reason he found the aneurysm was because he was taking a shower and he had a headache on a Wednesday, and then on a Saturday, he felt like his head was going to explode. And he had to go to the ER in Spencer, and that's where the doctors found out that something's not right here. They medvaced him, helicoptered him to Sioux Falls, and did surgery shortly once he got there. So this has been going on for a while, and it really, you know, it's kind of one of these curveballs that get thrown at you in life that you never expect, and you don't know when it will take place. And this is one of those curveballs. So we're going to pray for Nick here this morning. You got others in your prayer list, prayer requests there. Mandy Roger, who is originally from Sheldon, Iowa. She has been helping missionaries now. She was over in Romania for at least 7 years or something like that as a missionary. Now she is teaching missionaries from all over the world where they come together, and she teaches them some things. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know where these missionaries are going, where God has called them to go, but she is being used by the Lord in helping them go to all different places in the world. And then she's also going to be going to Germany to meet with the missionaries in the European countries, I think on, maybe it was just last Friday or something, she's there. So she's there in Germany now, teaching the missionaries in Europe some things, whatever that is. So there's other things in here, you can read them, and we'll pray for them in just a little bit. I think the little bit is already here. Just one other thing is there's LCMC convention that is coming in Lakeville, Minnesota. It's not that far away from here. Those of you that are delegates, you need to talk to Amy Johnson about registration, because there's a lot that goes with that. And just talk to Amy, and she's got it all down pat in knowing what needs to be done there. And so that would be very helpful for you, as it's going to take place in October. There's things that you need to know about as you register, pre-register. So keep that in mind as well. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for everyone that is here. It would have been so easy today to say it is so humid. The windows outside of the house was just dripping with moisture. And I know, Lord, that when you see that, it's very humid outside. And today is going to be hot. But Lord, we pray that we are in a comfortable place here. May we come knowing that we need to worship you. We need to hear from you today. And that you also are a God who hears our prayers and answers our prayers, no matter what they may be. We just pray, Lord, for Nick and for Lissa and the family as they go through something that is completely out of their comfort zone. And they're depending on a lot of different things that they have no control over. And so we just pray, Lord, for the doctors, for the surgeons, for the nurses, for the care that they're receiving. We pray even, Lord, for the chaplain as he comes and stops by to visit with them in the room, wherever they may be. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would just touch Nick's body in a way that he knows that it's you. No, it could come from nowhere else. We're thankful for medicine. We're thankful for surgeons. We're thankful for doctors and nurses, Lord. But these are one of those things that only you can bring about what needs to take place in Nick's life that will also not only touch him, but also touch the rest of the family members as well. So we just pray for him today and lift him up before you. We thank you, Lord, for the many prayers that have gone up for him. We thank you for Pat Garrels and sending out the prayer requests as well when they come to her, and just a marvelous way that she always includes a prayer in her list of how she's praying for this person. And it's really difficult, Lord, to find someone who really speaks from the heart, and that the prayer chain is not a gossip line. It's one that where people truly do pray for the person that comes across that prayer chain. And so we just thank you this morning of how you're going to use our time together here today. We know, Lord, there's a lot of people here that have come from different states and from different part of the state here in Iowa that are here today, and who knows where they're from on Zoom today as well. We are grateful for each and every one, and there's no better place to be than here and to listen and to let you come and work in each heart that is here today, even mine. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worship this morning, you find in your bulletin, comes from Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart before the small g gods. I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name, and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Praise Pan. Take it away. I'd love to tell the story. Telling the story? You just sang it. It says you do. Why did you sing it if you don't? I love to tell the story. How often do you tell the story to someone? So if they get mad, just go and leave. I don't care. But anyway, I did forget one announcement. That is, Amy Johnson would like to meet with anyone who's involved with Vacation Bible School. If you got questions about Vacation Bible School, meet in the fellowship hall after the worship service today, and you will find out everything you need to know as far as what to expect tomorrow or what is going to be taking place. So keep that in mind if that's pertaining to you here this morning. Back to the responsive reading. L is for leader, C is for congregation. So you recite the C. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul,
who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
As the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
For he knows how you are formed. He remembers that you are dust. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him.
And his righteousness with their children and children, those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his
priests. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Curtis Jazz will come and sing a song this morning. Welcome back there, Curtis. I would sing with you, but I won't.
Okay.
Julie Jones was on the piano, and my wife, Sharon Both, was on the flute. Thank you, Curtis. where no one stands alone. How many of you have felt you've been alone at times? Yeah. Good words. Good words of that song. I think the place where time goes by so slow is where Nick Ballas is at, in the hospital. And how many of you have been going to an appointment and you get there and then you, what do they say to you? Have a seat and wait until your name is called. You're like, why did I get here? And then you don't know when they're going to call your name. We can feel alone a lot of times, different places. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word, a time when God comes and speaks to us, comes near to us, reminding us that we're not alone. He's here with us all the time. Luke chapter 11, focusing on just verse 5 through 13 here today. And I read in Jesus' name. Then Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at what time? Midnight. And says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words that were important to the disciples at the time they heard them from you. May they be the same for us here today. Important words, reminders. No matter where we have been at, no matter how we've been thinking, no matter what we've done, Lord, we're here because of you, and we want to hear what you have to say to every heart and to my heart this morning. Be with us. Open our ears. Open our eyes. Help us to see and to know that we've spent time with Jesus Christ here this morning. We pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. We're looking at the parable that Jesus gives to his disciples. And if you notice what comes before our text, it's the disciples who ask Jesus, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. So the question comes up this morning, do you really need to pray? Why do we pray? And I just say this, if Jesus had to pray, if Jesus prayed, which we know he did, then we need to pray as well. If he is God and he prayed, we who are evil need to learn how to pray too. And I trust that this is not just words, but they're meaningful words to each and every one of us. The parable begins by saying that a man comes over and knocks on this guy's door. He knows the guy who's in there. And he's kind of just saying, I got an unexpected friend who came by and is hungry, and I don't have nothing to feed him. It's at midnight. I need some bread. And what he hears going on in the inside of the house. Now remember, this is not in America. This is in the Middle East. Way back 2,000 years ago, the houses were not as big as they are here. And so you wouldn't probably be knocking on the door. You'd probably be pushing a doorbell. And the doorbell, who's going to hear that at midnight if you are snoring so loud? No one. Or if you got a noisemaker on, or if you got a CPAP on your nose. Who knows? You know, you got a cell phone. You won't hear it beep. You won't hear anything because you shut it off. You silenced it because you're sleeping. So this guy is a friend of his. In the original language, the word that is used for knocking means that it is continuous. He continually knocked on this guy's door. And this guy is sleeping with his kids, which does not happen really today. Sometimes it does. But the guy just basically says to this guy, leave me alone. I'm not going to help you out. It's midnight. But because he's bold and keeps knocking and keeps asking, there's a reason why he's doing this. Because in the Jewish culture, there is something about hospitality to a traveler or to a stranger or to a friend that comes to your house. If you do not choose to be hospitable to this person or the family, in their culture, you are a very evil person. So evil that the community will turn against you and they will have nothing to do with you. Can you imagine that? So that's why he's persistent. And he keeps knocking because this guy's got to give him what he needs because he knows that this is what goes on in the culture of that day. So today we'd probably say, don't bother me, and slam the door in front of his face and just tell him, go away. What's interesting here is that some people interpret this parable as the man who does not want to help the guy knocking on his door, that it's a picture of God. And I'm going like, what? God isn't like that. God is, he doesn't even need to sleep. And God is always there to help the needs when we have them and we go to him, no matter what time of the day. If we start thinking, well, I'm not going to bother God tonight because he's got enough on his mind, and so I just won't pray until I wake up in the morning. You have a strange idea who God is. You won't find that in the scriptures at all. God is always willing to help in our time of need, any sinner. Who's a sinner here today? Good. At least half of you are. I want to talk to the other half later on today. Oh, my. But you could just see the guy saying, you know, quit bothering me. You know what time it is. It's the middle of the night. Just go away. I mean, he probably woke up my kids. But just leave us alone. But he did not stop until he was helped. And so prayer is about asking. So just a little things on prayer. If you look at the bulletin today, you see it's A-S-K. It's a good way to remember what prayer is. It's ask, seek, and knock. That's what it says. So you can make a word acrostic out of A-S-K, which also means ask. Prayer, sometimes we use a fancy word like petition. The Lord's Prayer is a petition. It's got seven petitions in it. Asking where we ask God to come and help us in our time of need, if it's temptation or whatever. And we don't stop. Prayer can be something that we can look at as being inconvenient. It can make you uncomfortable to pray. I don't know why it should make you uncomfortable. I remember when it was uncomfortable for me to pray out loud. I go like, there's no way I can do that because I never heard anyone pray out loud other than the pastor. And then I got to see and hear some older people who would stand up and pray out loud in a church that I attended way back in the 70s. And I'm going like, ooh, these people know how to pray. And I learned a lot from them. And they kept saying, it doesn't matter what you say, God sees your heart. And there's a lot of truth to that. And so why do you feel stupid to pray out loud? Well, I can't pray like somebody over there does. It doesn't matter to God. Whatever you say is what God is concerned about, and he understands you better than you understand yourself. So prayer can be something that is inconvenient, can make you feel uncomfortable over time. Hopefully you get over that. But the parable's teaching here, it's about being boldness, and that goes back to the guy was continuously knocking on the door. There was no doorbells at that time. You had to make a scene. You had to be heard. And I don't know how anyone in the house could just say, I didn't hear the guy pounding on the door last night. But he kept it up until he received what he came there for, because he knew the guy was his friend that was in there. So he didn't give up. He kept knocking until he was helped. Prayer is a lot like that too. Sometimes you go like, well, I don't know what to pray about anymore. But good. It's a time for the Holy Spirit to pray on your behalf. God understands him for sure. But God never gets tired of us praying. Even if it's over and over, it seems like the same thing, a routine that we do over and over again. But if you're meaning it from the heart, God hears it. He's a prayer hearing, a prayer answering God. That's why we have a prayer chain, to find people and to know that you can be involved that way. And maybe you're here today and you go like, I'd like to be on that chain. I'd like to be notified and told to pray for so-and-so that has come up. And if you haven't done so, well then, talk to Pat. She's right up here in the yellow. She sits right up front. And so talk to her and let her take care of you in that regard. So the very first principle when it comes to prayer is ask. Prayer is asking God. It's just talking to God, just like you talk to your friend. Is God your friend? If he's your friend, then why worry? He understands you. He'll listen. And he'll even do more than that. He will answer. Sometimes with a yes, sometimes with a no, sometimes it's wait. But he answers. We don't like the waiting one at all, do we? That's because we're Americans. We want action right now. We like to be a microwave. We don't want to be a crock pot. You know, crock pot takes a long time for it to do what it needs to do. Microwave is very quick. Prayer is about seeking an answer. It's hard work. It can be persistent. We keep doing it. It can be repetitious. It's okay. Because we're praying. And again, who are you praying to? You're praying to God. You're praying for him to hear what you're saying, and he does, and you're asking him for some kind of answer in that prayer. So there's persistence in that. And you think of the guy who's knocking on the door, he was very persistent, wasn't he? So the parable's teaching in this one, it's don't give up. If you've prayed once, twice, five times, 10 times, 20 times, so what? Who's keeping track? God isn't up there with a pen and pencil going like, oh, you again. This is the 23rd time you've prayed the same prayer. He's not like that. He will listen as if it was the very first time from you. So the second principle is seek, and you will find. We seek the Lord in prayer. Just like we did with Nick here today and others. You've been prayed for. If you have prayed for someone, you are seeking what God can do for this person. And we don't know. But we sure want him to know about it. And even though he already knows about it, we still pray because Jesus prayed. Jesus would go to a solitary place by himself. His disciples would know, well, he's over there, he's praying. So maybe I should find out something about prayer that I don't know. Teach us, Lord, how to pray. And that's where we pray every Sunday, the Lord's Prayer. Remember that when we pray that today before we leave. Prayer is about opening the door to be invited in. Now, if you are polite and a courteous person and you are honoring the one whose door you're knocking on, if they open the door, you will be very sensitive for them to hear what? What are they going to say to you? Can I help you? Don't come in. Or do they say, come in. Come into their presence. Come into their home. The Lord is always saying, when you pray, come on in. I want to get closer to you as you get closer to me. You're not a stranger. You're a friend. How can I help you? What can I do for you? What can I get for you? Just want me to listen? I can listen. Want me to do something? I can do what even more than what you think or ask. The Lord works in that way. So the third principle is to knock. Because it says, knock and the door will be opened. It doesn't say how or when. It just says a door will be opened. You leave the results to God, what he's going to do. And you might be surprised what he can do for you. So our Heavenly Father, as it goes on in our text here, talks about, you know, looking at our earthly Father. You know, would he ever give his kid something that he asks for and give him something different? Would he trick him? Because our Heavenly Father will not trick or give us anything but good gifts when we pray to him. If a child asked his dad for a fish, his dad won't give him a snake. Will he? If a child asks his dad for an egg, his dad will not give him a scorpion, something that will harm him, something that would cause a lot of pain, probably even poison him before he dies. And Jesus goes on and he says, you who are evil, very interesting, he points that out. Earthly dads, earthly people. Because you're sinners, evil. There's a part of you that's evil. No one had to teach you to be evil, did they? That comes pretty natural because you're a sinner. You know how to sin. You know how to be bad. You know how to be a jerk. You who are evil, Jesus says, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And that's very true. How much more will your Heavenly Father, how much more will he give that is good? Because he is good. That's one of his attributes. It's one of his characteristics as a God. He's good. There's no evil in him. There's no bad in him. He's nothing but good. He will give you the good gifts. And especially when you are his child, he knows whose are his children. And he'll give them nothing but good gifts on those who ask him, that they're in need of him in their lives. Jesus didn't say anywhere in this parable that God is like the grouchy neighbor who was in the house. Did he? Even though that neighbor was very selfish and tired, Because it's midnight. God is never tired. He's never selfish. He will go to meet the need of no matter how bothersome you may think you are. He still will come next to you where you're never alone. And he will give you much more than what we see in the parable. Because what you see in a parable is the lesser person is the neighbor who is in bed with his kids. There's only so much he can do. But the earthly father, the heavenly father, God above, will go beyond that and give good gifts, way beyond what this neighbor gave to his friend at midnight. So the last point I want to make here is this. I'll ask you a question. It's a personal question. I want you to ask this to yourself today. Are you a child of God? Are you really a child of God? Is he your heavenly Father? And when you pray to him, has he ever answered? Does he ever receive? Have you ever received an answer to your prayer? Because you are one of his children. You pray by faith. And you ask by faith that God would hear you and answer you. When you pray by faith, do you find anything in your prayers? Does anything ever happen when you pray? Maybe you need to say, Lord, help me to see how you've answered this prayer that I'm not seeing. Open my eyes. When you pray by faith, is the door opened for you? The request that you're making, does God answer it? Is the door open for you to allow him to give back to you what you're asking? Or is he just saying, hold on, hold on. I hear you, but just hold on. Or do you go like, I'm tired of holding on. I want something right now. Well, what does that reveal about you? You're the selfish one. You're the impatient one, where God is very patient. And sometimes we say, Lord, forgive me for wanting an answer right now. Help me to be patient and to wait upon you. I think I said before today that God can answer your prayers in three ways. It can be a yes, it can be a no, it can be wait. That's how he works. And we believe and trust him by faith. Because if he answers a prayer, it's not because of anything about you, it's because you are depending on him. And he comes on your behalf to give to you what only he can. It's just like when Jesus went to the cross and he died on the cross. He did it because he loves you. God's grace given to the undeserving person. But yet he loves you and did. Paid the penalty, shed the blood, perfect sacrifice of his son, who rose again on the third day with victory and a crown, a king of kings and the Lord of lords, and who was seen by not only the disciples, but many other people for 40 days. It wasn't just the disciples who saw him, it was other people saw him too, knowing that he had come back from the dead. Out of the grave. And we have that hope as well. Every prayer that is going up to the Lord or being spoken to him by faith, it is now put in his hands. And then we depend on his answer. And we We hear a yes, or we hear a no, or we hear a wait. Depends. It's up to the Lord. He does it. It has nothing to do with you or me. We just need to be willing to bring our neighbor before his throne of grace and to pray and leave it in his hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, prayer is very important. It does not come naturally for any one of us. It's one of those things that we learn as you teach us, either from your word or from other people, that is part of the Christian walk. May we walk, Lord, holding on to your hand, and a lot of times we find it's your hand that's holding on to us tighter because you love us and you care about us and you want to remind us that we're not alone. Regardless of what's going on in our lives or the circumstances or the situations, you're with us because you love us and you care about us. Lord, may we be like the Good Samaritan. May we be like Mary versus her sister Martha, of choosing the best to be at the foot of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. May we, Lord, be the one who asks and seeks and knocks. Because we love you and we know how much you care about us and how much you love us. Don't let anyone else tell us differently. We believe in you by faith through Jesus Christ, your Son. May we pray the prayer. When the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray, this is the prayer that comes to our minds called the Lord's Prayer. May we say it together today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
receive God's benediction. Found in Numbers, the very last part of chapter 6 of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.